Very important starting point and understanding, because cultivation evolves around the Noble Eightfold Path. Where this Noble Eightfold Path is like the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And this is basically the advice of the Buddha. So when you have the embodiment of his teaching, you will have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factors. So your question is very good, Sadhu Thiel. Maybe I will make use of this condition to share a bit first, because it's a very wide topic. You cannot cover it within 1 hour or two. But I will give you a generalized understanding so that cultivator of the way can develop this understanding. You see, the Buddha, when he taught the Four Noble Truths, he actually explained the Four Noble Truths, which are true, that can make the individual enlightened or noble ones. So they have the first noble truth of dukkha, the reality of life and existence, so that you understand life, especially the mundane aspect of life. So this noble truth of dukkha, the prevalence of suffering, is very important. It's like you understand life. Then after that, the second noble truth explain the cause behind all this suffering. The eight reality, how when you deludedly grasp, cling, and attach to the five aggregate of form and mind, it will condition suffering or misery or affliction. The second noble truth is the noble truth of cause of arising of suffering. He said the cause is mainly sakkayaditi, self-delusion, that condition you to deludedly grasp and cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind, the two aspects, as the me and the I. That is self-delusion. And that is also the final summary of the first noble truth. After you have understood this first two noble truths, you would have developed some form of understanding of life, and you can actually manage your life better. When you understand what is suffering and the cause behind suffering, you can manage your life better. Then he didn't stop there. He said, after that, you need to know the third noble truth. And the third noble truth is very beautiful. He said, suffering may not be. Even we have this prevalence of suffering, the reality of life and existence, the eight conditions where you are told, birth, old age, sickness, and death. When you don't understand them, when you confront them without Dhamma, without proper Dhamma understanding, suffering will be the result. When you attach, you will cling, you will grasp. Then when there is separation from your loved ones, prized possession, your wealth, whatever you hold on to or cling on to tightly. So all this also conditions suffering. And separation can occur in many ways. Through death, through accident, through calamity, separation can occur. Then through relationship failure, divorce and other things also, separation can occur. Then through forced separation during crisis time or during the financial situation, you are being separated from your children, your siblings. And there are also many other reasons for separation. Sometimes war, calamity and all those things can also lead to separation. Then when you cannot get what you want in life, you also develop suffering, unhappiness, when things don't go your way, when you are with people whom you don't like, it can also give rise to suffering. Then the final summary, of course, when we deludedly grasp and cling to the five aggregates of form and mind, suffering will occur, where this is delusion, ignorance. The Buddha said all this need not be, may suffering need not be when you understand them. When you know the cause, you can mitigate it. You can transcend it. You can go above it. So this third noble truth is very important, is that suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized, leading to wisdom that enable you to liberate your mind and free your mind from all this suffering. So this is like the light at the end of the tunnel. You see hope. Then you realize life can be very beautiful when I understand this teaching, because suffering need not be. I can live the noble life, the beautiful life of enlightened being. So that was a very assuring thing, rewarding thing. Then after that, the Buddha didn't stop. He said, he not only promised you that suffering need not be, enlightenment in the here and now is possible, but under the fourth noble truth, he explained clearly. He said, if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. It will lead to the enlightenment in the here and now. So basically, from this fourth noble truth, we can deduce that this is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. When you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. It will liberate your mind. It will bring about enlightenment in the here and now. So this is most beautiful. But like Man Yuan's question said, she knew. She asked this question because she wants to ask on behalf of other cultivators, and especially Kayamitas, and at the same time for her to develop deeper understanding. Just by now, I think after hearing so many sessions of sharing, you all would have known that this Noble Eightfold Path cultivation is very extensive. So like I explained before, this Noble Eightfold Path is basically the advice of the Buddha. The Buddha in his teaching break it down into Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. Sila is morality. Samadhi is the training of the mind to have mindfulness and Samadhi. Then with that training, with that realization of the true mind in Samadhi, you can see things as they are to awaken. That's why wisdom will arise. So to be an enlightened being, you must have the embodiment of this Noble Eightfold Path factor. And to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, you need to go through the training, the cultivation, and the teaching. And the approach can be approached from many directions. But basically, like how the Buddha has arranged them, the Noble Eightfold Path in that order that he has arranged them is the most appropriate way to start. But very few people understand how to start. And most people, I think, they thought the Noble Eightfold Path is not one teaching. They go and break it up into 8 teachings. And they try to cultivate each and every of these path factor. But it's actually one teaching. That's why the Mahjong analogy that I give, 九字连环, if you have the Mahjong, those who know Mahjong, they will understand. It's either Sok Chi, Tong Chi, or Man Chi, it's the same. When you have the 111, 999, 6 card already, right? Then in between 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, 6 plus 7, 13 card. Do you know what you call? You call all the 9 cards, 1 to 9. Any card come out, you can game. That's why it's called 九字连环. Means this Noble Eightfold Path, after you cultivate, it can solve all your problems. Any card come out, you can gain. You can realize the enlightenment. That's why it's one teaching. It's called a Noble Eightfold Path. So how do we start cultivating this? A lot of people don't have the inking or understanding. Like the Buddha said, you have to start with right view or right understanding. So right view and right understanding is seldom understood. Right view with regards to what? Right understanding with regards to what? So we have to know the five panchaniyamas in order to arrive at that right view. That you read the sutta, it's mentioned very clearly. The three basic right view that the Buddha taught are the spiritual aspect of the five panchaniyama. The first is law of karma. Second is law of mind, means karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. But all this, before you start the cultivation, what you have is just knowledge, like karma niyama. After hearing what I have shared with you, and you develop the understanding that this law of karma is very powerful, like what the Buddha described. That's how his advice come about. When you understand the law of karma, you want to take care of karma. To take care of karma, you have to follow the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. And how to avoid all evil? Keep the precepts. Then cultivate wholesomeness. Wholesomeness is part and parcel of right view leading to all the right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and noble eightfold perfectness. Then purify the mind is right mindfulness and right samadhi. So noble eightfold path is actually the advice of the Buddha. It's sila, samadhi, and panya. When you cultivate them and you have the embodiment of them, you are incapable of evil. But to understand all this, to cultivate all this, is not just a linear progression of knowledge, then go and do it accordingly. No, because it is one path and they are all connected. So because they are all connected, this right view that you start off with is initially what we call pariyatti. Pariyatti is the learning of the teaching. So initially, you have to arise the understanding through thought base, means through knowledge. Then when you understand them, the Buddha say, the second phase of Dhamma is to put it into practice, to cultivate it. So how can you cultivate this right view? With regards to law of karma, with regards to the other law, law of mind and law of truth, which is Dhamma Niyama. And this topic is very wide in the sense that even the law of karma, we know the theory is simple. The learning of the theory, the knowledge aspect is simple. Maybe most of you all can memorize it and remember it. But how to put it into practice? How do you cultivate right view with regards to law of karma? Means you have to do all those things that the Buddha advised you. How do you avoid all evil? Keep the precept. Then you have to go into the reflection, contemplation, inquiry. What constitutes precept? Why keep precepts? Precepts consist of major evil. You can reflect, contemplate, and trace. Who are the people who break or violate all these precepts? They are evil people with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why they consist major evil. If you violate them, you commit heavy karmic negativity. You have a lot of evil roots. And this is the cause of negativity of karma, downfall in the human karmic nature. So when you understand this, you determine to cultivate this, to avoid all evil, itself is a very big part. The five precepts, you have to go through, understand them. Then when you start to develop the understanding, you have to understand what constitutes evil. Otherwise, you cannot do anything with the precepts. Means the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, you have to expand on it, then go deep into it. Then you have to develop the training of the mind to be mindful, to be aware, so that you are sensitive, so that you can be aware of the evil roots. You can be aware of your stirring of your mind with the intention, the mental intention that has the evil root behind, to condition negativity of karma. That's how people break their precept. They become arrogant. They become foolish, heedless. So to be a cultivator is not that simple. You need to train your mind to be ever mindful, heedful, constantly meditating. So all this understanding has to follow. So reflection, contemplation, second turning, then you move on to the cultivation, which is the third turning. Then after you have started developing the cultivation, you start to be aware of what constitutes evil, the three evil roots, and you are mindful of them. Then you have to move on to the cultivation of the other right view and right understanding, means the law of mind and law of Dhamma. But before you do that, the first one, you have to continue. From that right view in regards to law of karma, you know what constitutes evil and you want to cultivate. So what must you do? You train your mind to have mindfulness, awareness, to see all this. Then you have to learn the five ways to abandon the wrong thought, the unwholesome thought. Then the four right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought or wrong action and wrong speech that has arisen. Then the right effort to prevent them from arising. That one need wisdom, need understanding, need yonisomanasika. So all this I have already explained. So the whole cultivation is actually a big wide topic. Then after you have done that, then only we can talk about the meditative aspect. After you have avoided all evil, do good, then the meditative aspect is awareness, sati, leading to heedfulness, the silent mind, the awareness nature within the true mind. So you have to realize that you have to silence and develop the daily mindfulness, the daily religious routine. So all this come into play. Then even to cultivate right thought, you have to reflect, contemplate what constitutes right thought. Then you have to understand, more important is what constitutes wrong thought. Thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation, the evil roots. So that you recognize them. So that you know, like what I always advise, whenever there is this, what they call lack of peace, whenever you are unhappy and not peaceful, the evil roots are there, the wrong thoughts are there, the negativity of karma, wrong view, wrong thought, they are all there. Then what constitutes right thought, wholesomeness, all of your virtue, your whatever goodness, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, they are right thought. And you have to learn to arise them. Then later on, the fourth right effort to refine upon them and perfect them. And it ties in with the three set of pure precepts. That's why this whole training itself is very comprehensive. Then you have to repeat for the law of mind, which is the 12 link paticca samuppada. That one is even more difficult. That one, your mindfulness has to be very stable. Your awareness has to be very stable. Your daily mindfulness has to be very stable. Your contemplative wisdom, second turning wisdom, has to be very stable. Then your third turning wisdom must slowly, slowly awaken before you can really see the dwelling, the paticca samuppada. Then to silence your mind, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the three universal characteristics. That itself is also a very extensive training, cultivation, and very wide topic. So all these are related. Then finally, of course, Dhamma Niyama. This one is involving the four foundations of mindfulness, Dhamma Nupassana. Then they are all there. That's why the whole cultivation involves the cultivating of the Noble Eightfold Path factor. Not only right view, after that right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, and the way you live your life and train yourself through the four right effort. Then after that is of course the right mindfulness. That one is meditative. Meditation itself involves the four foundation of mindfulness, the daily mindfulness, sati, sampajana, everything. Following the 10 steps of the Abhijja Sutta, they are all connected and linked. Then Sama Sati and Sama Samadhi is a very extensive topic. This one also you have to go and do it. The four foundation of mindfulness. Then the importance of this mindfulness as the enlightenment factor. Then the three turnings of the four noble truth, you also have to go into it. Then what is samadhi and how you develop samadhi? It must be a free mind. It must not be a conditioned mind. You must not go into concentration, absorption, focusing and other things. Otherwise, there is a conditioned mind, conditioned state. It's not a free mind. That is not your true mind. Your awareness nature, your true nature. Without that one, the self nature, you cannot understand truth. You cannot meditate. You cannot awaken. You cannot insight in the phenomena. So all these are a very, very extensive scope and field of cultivation. So hopefully with this summary, you know how to go about doing it. But with patience, with faith, sincerity, it can be done. It's not difficult. And in fact, there are quite a lot of Kayamita who has moved into it, except it takes a long time. It's not so fast. To have the embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path is not so easy. It go hand in hand with the cultivation. As you cultivate, as you transform, you will find more things in the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path. Just to have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, you must be very stable in all aspects of your training, especially the five spiritual faculties. They must stabilize until they become balanced. Then you stand a chance. Then your sati spiritual faculty already stable, your meditation already stable. And once your spiritual faculty is very stable, well developed, your meditative mind is always with you. You're always in the meditative state. Then cultivation of Noble Eightfold Path smoothen. You can do it without much effort. It's like very natural, very simple. And you can really do it. But take a lot of time. You have to be very patient. Then you have to go into life. You have to go into all the Bodhisattva way to cultivate extensively for a long period of time to develop the understanding, the wisdom. Then ultimately, when you have all the perfection, the parami and the understanding, then only you can fully grasp the full cultivation of this Noble Eightfold Path. And this Noble Eightfold Path is the answer to all things. It's the path that leads to the end of all suffering. It's the embodiment of the Buddha's teaching, the advice, Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. It's incapable of negativity. And it's so beautiful. So hopefully with this, Panya, you can develop the understanding. Okay? Today on the summary is very good. You all should listen to it.